Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about, about seeking happiness. We have been talking about John and Betty Stamm, and as you know, that sometimes on Fridays I sort of digress a little bit. Those of you who perhaps have not listened during this week, I just want to mention that John and Betty Stamm were missionaries in China back in the 30s, and people that I had known personally and had a very great influence on my life when I was just a child. And I had come across Betty Scott Stamm's prayer of consecration and copied it into my Bible. These are the words, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Send me where Thou wilt, and work out Thy whole will in my life, at any cost, now and forever." Now that does not appeal to the secular mind as being a very likely way of gaining happiness, to give up all one's own plans and purposes, all one's own desires and hopes, and accept the will of God when you don't even know what the will of God is going to be. We do seek happiness, don't we? And the story of John and Betty Stamm, although it has a very shocking ending, is the story of two people who found not just happiness, but joy, even in sacrifice. Aristotle said, "All men seek happiness. There are no exceptions." The feminist movement convinced a good many women that they would not find happiness or fulfillment until they got out of the house. If they did something really worthwhile, something other than being just wives and mothers who stayed at home. Of course, a lot of women believed that, moved out of the house, took jobs in the secular world, and quite a good number of those came back home quite disillusioned, realizing that that was not the place where fulfillment is found. The search for happiness is universal. The differences of the ways in which people find it are very great. Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, the mission under which John and Betty Stamm worked, disciplined himself to take inventory of everything he possessed, which hadn't been used for a year. Each year, he would go through all his possessions. He would discard the worthless and give away whatever was useful. It sounds to me like a practice we should consider. Think how much simpler life would be. Now, garage sales are certainly a great way to unload things that you haven't used for a year or more. And I'm all for people having garage sales, but I have to confess that I'm not much of a customer, though I did spend $5 once on an electric mixer that the people across the street were selling. I just happened to be driving out of my driveway, saw the mixer, found out that it was still working, and bought it for $5. And I actually bought a $50 chair for my son-in-law. I was walking down the street near his home in California, and there was a nice-looking recliner chair, which I spent $50 for. So there's a great deal to be said for garage sales, and they are wonderful places for people that are looking for bargains. But what I'd like for us to think about just for a moment is, why do people have garage sales? Well, because they have a whole lot of things that they don't need, and often a whole lot of things that they thought were going to make them happy. I wonder what these garage sales tell us about American life? Restlessness, discontent, ceaseless activity, short attention span. The skis and skates and surfboards have perhaps been outgrown by the children. That's certainly understandable. But the skidoos and the scuba diving stuff, all those cute and clever but unnecessary gadgets, expensive exercise machines, tables loaded with useless bric-a-brac, I have a sneaking suspicion that it was adults who thought they needed those things. A life lived without reflection can be very superficial and empty. That emptiness must be filled. Not knowing the one who alone can fill the heart, man grabs repeatedly for some new stimulation, sensation, or satisfaction to fill his time and slake his restlessness. His enjoyment is short-lived. What he got for Christmas or bought at a garage sale last year, he soon tires of. It furnishes him with goods for his own garage sale. He's like the man who wrote, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind." That's from Ecclesiastes 2. How much is enough? The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I believe that fulfillment is not a goal, but the byproduct of sacrifice. I mean by that, we ought not to aim to fulfill ourselves. Our aim should be that of John and Betty Stamm, to do the will of God. And to love God is to love His will. Now, to say that fulfillment or happiness ought not to be a goal but is the byproduct of sacrifice is, of course, a spiritual paradox. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." The word blessed means happy. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Can you imagine finding happiness in the law of the Lord? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Happiness is found, according to that psalmist, in obedience. Obedience to God. And you fathers and mothers of little children, you know that some of your greatest struggles in raising your children are teaching them to obey. And the children, of course, imagine that obedience is going to ruin their fun. And so there's the struggle. There's the tension between the loving parents who know what's best for the children and know that their rules are going to lead to happiness and freedom, and the child who believes
that you really hate me. You never give us anything.
You've heard that kind of complaint, haven't you? The New Testament makes it very clear that the success that the psalmist writes of is often in very different terms from those we envisage. The Stamm story, as it unfolds again next week, will illustrate that fact unforgettably. The success that they looked for in their missionary work, it came in a very different form than what they had imagined. And I'm sure that many of you would agree with me that the will of God is always different from what we imagine, and always ultimately far greater. Recently, we've heard of two different couples who have split because they have preferred another person above their spouse. In other words, the spouse was not making them happy. Marriage brought them no fulfillment. And so they have split. and as a result, have discovered sorrow and heartache and guilt and recrimination and despair that they never imagined. The happiness they thought they were going to find was elusive. The family was torn to pieces. Their reputations were ruined. Their children were abandoned. And in one case, the wife was left destitute. The husband, in another case, was banished and unable to visit his children when it was his wife who chose to abandon him and establish relationships with another man. The search for happiness is a futile and destructive method of going about it. The Bible tells us that one whom God corrects is happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who has mercy on the poor, who trusts in the Lord, who keeps his law. And James says that those who endured are happy. Peter says, those who suffer for righteousness' sake and who are reproached for Christ's sake are happy. But sacrifice is always involved in that kind of happiness. But it's infinitely deeper than the kind offered by money, notoriety, or popularity. George Eliot, the famous novelist, wrote this: "We can't choose happiness, either for ourselves or for another. We can't tell where it will lie. We can only choose whether we will indulge ourselves in the present moment or whether we will renounce that for the sake of obeying the divine voice within us, for the sake of being true to all the motives that sanctify our lives. I know this belief is hard. It has slipped away from me again and again, but I have felt that if I let it go forever, I should have no light through the darkness of this life."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.